Oh Lord, we believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe He sanctifies us, teaches us, guides us, and continues to reveal Christ to us. May we be empowered as a church to find your lost kids, to facilitate joy in ministry, to say yes to the adventure of faith, and to live a lifestyle of generosity. Please grow us to our full potential. In Christ's name, amen. There was a Greek named Aesop, and he wrote fables. And these fables were little stories that made important points about life. One of his fables was called The Fox and the Sheep. And one day, the foxes sent a delegation to the sheep. And the fox ambassador said, you know, we don't have to be enemies. We really could be friends. And we want all you sheep to know that we really like you. We've gotten bad press. We're not as bad as the dogs try to make us out. And the fox ambassador said, the dogs are really the problem. They get on your nerves, don't they? They're always running around you, and when you try to go somewhere you want to go, they nip at you and make you get back in the pack, and they're just annoying. Surely you don't find them very pleasant either. And the fox ambassador said, we could work this all out. You tell the dogs you don't need them hanging around anymore, and everything will be fine. So the sheep council called in the dogs, and they said, you know, we kind of find you pretty annoying. You're too bossy, in fact. And we're tired of you telling us where we can graze and can't graze. And by the way, the wolves don't like you either. And we think everything around here everybody around here would get along a lot better if you dogs would just go somewhere else. So of course the dog said, fine, you stupid sheep, if that's what you want. And the dogs left, and the wolf pack just ravaged the flock. The idea of the fable is we better be careful about losing the influence and the protection in our lives that we need. You know, this fable could have been written about the American church. In my lifetime, little by little, the church has quietly waltzed God out of the picture. It started with, you know, we've done some new research, and the Bible isn't everything people thought it was. And we waltzed God out of the Bible, that somehow or another the Bible's not a God book. It's just a nice religious book that people produced, and God really didn't have anything to do with it. And then we waltz the Trinity out of the church. You really can't believe in a Trinity. Who believes in the Trinity? And we waltzed the Holy Spirit and Christ out of the church and said, you know, they're very nice ideas, but probably somebody made that up and Jesus was just a good man. And the Holy Spirit is, the whole idea is weird. We can get along without him. And then we waltzed the gospel out of the church. That somehow or another, it's fine to be a nice social club. You don't really have to tell people that Christ died for their sins. That's kind of passé now too. And it wasn't too long that the church just became a social club. We simply said to God, you're a little too intrusive in our lives. We'd like to do church and not have to obey you so much. And the end result of that is, I just saw a new statistic. The average Protestant church in America, for the first time in American history, average since they've been keeping records, averages under 100 total attenders on a weekend. You see, when God is gone, there's nothing left that's meaningful and vital in the church. And we're going to see today from the book of Acts that the church is born with the powerful presence of God. It was the presence of Christ that brought the church together. And when Christ ascended into heaven, he sent the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit empowered the church. And it's the presence of God in the church that makes the church viable in the world. And we can't ever compromise the presence of God. It's like saying to the wolves, we'll tell the dogs they're not welcome here anymore. Do you see? And so in Acts chapter 2, one of the most remarkable chapters in the entire book of Acts, we begin with remembering that last week Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the power, the promise of the Father. I'll send the Spirit, and he will empower you to be my witnesses. Well, that happened, Jesus said that, about 40 days after the crucifixion. 10 days later was the annual feast of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50th. It was the 50th day after the Passover, and it was a harvest festival. In the Old Testament, it's called the Festival of Weeks, or it's called the Festival of First Fruits. And at this time every year, Jewish people would be reaping the first harvest in their fields. And they would have a festival where they would bring part of the first harvest to the temple, and they would honor God for how he had blessed them. So on this 50th day, festival, Jerusalem was packed, and the Bible says that the little church was banded together, and they heard what sounded like a strong wind. I heard one last week, one night, kept me awake half the night, blowing, got up the next morning, branches down in the street. You know what that strong wind sounds like. And suddenly they looked, and it looked like little flames on top of everybody's head. I know it sounds odd. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit moved the place of his ministry from everything he had done in the Old Testament and empowered the church. Do you see? Pentecost isn't the Holy Spirit showing up in the world. He's been here all along. The book of Genesis says he hovered over the face of the deep on creation morning. If there was no Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, then no one was saved in the Old Testament. Do you see? What happened is he moved where he does his primary work from the Old Testament temple and the priesthood and all of those symbols and emblems, and he moved where he was going to work to the church. And the Bible says that when they were empowered with the Holy Spirit, listen, they immediately began to speak about Christ. Now, I know you read this, that they spoke in tongues and all that stuff gets involved. Listen, the important thing is when the Holy Spirit empowered them, the very first thing they did was begin to speak about Christ. Do you get it? And it just so happened that there were people there from a multitude of nations, and they all understood in their own language. But the point that has to be made is, when the church is empowered by the Holy Spirit, the evidence that we are empowered is an impulse to begin to speak about Christ. Where there is no impulse to speak about Christ, we have to question the influence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our homes, and in our church. Do you see? And they spoke about Christ in a way that captured people's attention, and they wanted to listen. That's another evidence of the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Where the Holy Spirit is working, we end up talking about Christ in the kind of way that people want to listen. Church, if you're talking about Christ and people don't want to listen, you're not empowered by the Holy Spirit, or you're talking about him in a wrong way. When we do this right, people want to hear it. Do you get it? So then beginning in verse 14, Peter stands up and says, everybody needs to understand what's happening here. Let me explain what's happening. And he says, this is exactly what the prophet Joel promised would happen. If you look in the Old Testament, you'll find the prophet Joel. His name means Yahweh is God. And he's one of the hardest books. He's probably the hardest prophet to date because he says absolutely nothing about kings and the political context he's writing in. And he uses locusts as a symbol of the destructive power that's coming. The scholars I trust say that he probably lived around 700 years before Christ. And his book is primarily about saying to people, now would be a good time to repent. And if you look at the prophecy, Joel's promise, I want to point out some things that are important. Joel said, the day is coming when God promised to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Now, I want to make several remarks about this. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit worked primarily through Jewish people. You get that? He worked primarily through Jewish people. That's why the Jewish people get so much time in the Old Testament, because that's where the Holy Spirit is primarily working. Listen what the promise was. The day is coming when the Jewish people don't have the inside track anymore, and God's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, people of every cultural background. When he pours out his Spirit upon all flesh, look at your Bibles, please. This caused a big fight in our church some years ago, and I want to remind everybody why we believe what we believe. Listen, look what it says. He said, I'm going to pour out my spirit, and look, your sons and your daughters will prophesy, prophetes, preach. Do you get this? Joel said the day is coming when God pours out his spirit in the kind of way that both men and women are anointed by the Holy Spirit to preach. That's what this says. We permit women to preach in this church because the Bible says God would pour out his spirit upon them and they would be able to preach. The third thing he says here is, this is important. Your young men will have visions of ministry. I'm putting ministry in there. That's what's implied. God is going to pour out his spirit on some young people, and they're going to have a vision for ministry. This happened to me. When I was a boy, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart in a profound way, and I had an idea about the kind of church that God would use me to build if I would just walk with him. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we're praying that for our young leaders in this church, that God would pour out his spirit upon them and they would have a vision for what this church should be 35 years from now. Do you see? Where there is no vision, the church perishes. So the Holy Spirit is poured out on people and they have clear thinking about the kind of church that God wants to build in the world. Well, I don't get to fall under the young men anymore, but it also says that old farts like me still dream dreams. Church, I tell you, I have a dream in my heart. I cannot let it go until this dream that the Holy Spirit poured out into my heart becomes a reality in the world. Listen. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to act upon people in a powerful way where young people say, I'm willing to give the rest of my life serving God to see this awesome thing happen. The Holy Spirit is poured out on people, old people, and something in our heart says, I don't care if there's more behind me than there is in front of me. I still have a dream that I'm following in faith that the Holy Spirit prompts in my heart. Do you see? This is the church. The evidence that the Holy Spirit is at work in the church is somebody has a vision for ministry and somebody's dreaming dreams of what God can still do in mostly worn out. All right. And there's one more thing. There's one more thing. Joel said, when this wonderful thing happens, all exclusiveness is gone. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Church, I don't care what your background is. I don't care the mean things you've done. I don't care the things you're ashamed of. I don't care the ugly things you've done. I don't care about any of it. Because the promise of the Holy Spirit is everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You get it? There are no exclusions here. No one will ever hear God say, you know what? You were just too bad, and I don't want to save you. You crossed over the line. There is no line in the heart of God. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, Joel promised, would be saved. Church, I want to say as clearly as I can, we live in the world that Joel said would happen. It began at Pentecost. Do you get this? From the day of Pentecost to this very day, the Holy Spirit has been empowering churches. And in these empowered churches, men and women proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. In these empowered churches, there's a vision of ministry that's being pursued. In these empowered churches, there's a dream that keeps compelling the heart. And in these empowered churches, people are calling upon the name of the Lord and being saved. Even people that others say that person could never become a Christian. Church, you live and attend an Acts 2 church. Do you get that? This is what we want to be right here. Verse 22. Peter said, it's happening right now. What you see happening here is exactly what Joel promised. And then guess what Peter did? Because he's empowered by the Holy Spirit, he immediately starts talking about Christ. Look at verses 22 through 24. He immediately starts talking about Christ. And listen what he says about Christ. He is attested. That means Christ proved himself to be the Son of God. It is affirmed by what he did, by man and God, that Jesus Christ is God's Savior. The second thing he said is, and more than that, I'm an eyewitness of it. I am an eyewitness of what happens when Christ affects a life. The third thing he said was, it wasn't some giant cosmic mistake that Jesus Christ got crucified. He was crucified by the definite plan and the foreknowledge of God. I want the church to hear this. It wasn't a tragedy that Christ was crucified. It was the definite plan and the foreknowledge of God. And he said, you crucified him. The people who yelled, crucify him, will not have this man to reign over us. They were in the crowd that day when Peter preached. But then he said, you need to know this, God raised him up. And we celebrate that every single Easter. What is the message of the church? Jesus Christ is the proven Son of God. I am a witness of that by what he's done in my life. Christ was crucified by the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. But God raised him up, and he's seated at the right hand of majesty, reigning in glory, making intercession for the saints. And then Peter quoted Psalm 16, 8 through 11. And he said, this psalm is not about David, it's about Christ. Look at verse 33. Christ has been received at to the right hand of God. And look what it says. And he has, you have received the promise of the Spirit from the Father. He's poured out on you. When Christ was received into glory, he released the Holy Spirit into the church to empower us for this noble work. As a church, we believe we are led by the Holy Spirit. We believe we're led by the Holy Spirit. I don't think that has to be mystical, because I believe the Holy Spirit uses identifiable tools to lead us. Oddly enough, the more you read the Bible, the better the Holy Spirit leads you. You find that odd? Stop reading the Bible and see how much leadership you get. The more you pray, the Holy Spirit leads you. The less you pray, the harder it is to even say that you know the Holy Spirit. Church? I wonder tonight, the church was born when Christ released the Holy Spirit to empower us. Does the Holy Spirit have any influence in your life? I just want to ask you personally, does he have any influence in your life? Do you ever recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit within you calling you to be better than you've been? Do you ever hear him asking you to do something you haven't been willing to do in the past? To grow in a way you haven't grown? To serve in a way that you've been too proud to serve? Church. See, the hope of the church is not what we can do for God. The hope of the church is that we follow the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and then he works through us, and then absolutely ridiculous things get accomplished. Absolutely awesome things get accomplished. God is not interested in what you can do without him. He's interested in the Holy Spirit guiding you to be everything he created you to be. Verse 37. Look at 37 through 39. How did the people respond to this sermon? Well, the first thing they said is, we get it. Now what do? We crucified the Savior. Peter said, well, you can start by saying you're sorry. I think my mom taught me that in kindergarten. You have to start by saying you're sorry. Huh? Peter said, you can start by saying you're sorry. Just say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Make a public profession of your faith. Let it be known through baptism that you are a committed follower of Jesus Christ. This is what he says. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, but I also believe that as a follower of Jesus Christ, I have to have an opening to the Holy Spirit every single day. Do you get that? The Holy Spirit is a person. He acts like a person, and we relate to him like a person. And we have to be open and receiving him every single day. The days you ignore him, he's not going to do awesome things in your life. Do you get that, church? And I'd like you to see at the end in verse 39, listen to what it says. We don't have to do this all alone. God is calling people to himself. From the day of Pentecost to this very day, God has been whispering to people just like you and just like me and saying through the Holy Spirit, give me another chance in your life. Give me another chance in your life. Open your heart to me. Let me have some influence with you. Let me help you abandon the things that are ruining your life, and let me empower you to do the things that will help you to live a noble life and be part of God's cutting-edge work in this generation. Awesome sermon. 3,000 people became Christians that day. I don't know that Billy Graham ever did so good. 3,000 people heard the empowered story of Jesus Christ, and that day they said, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Do you get it? Church, we are an Acts 2 church. In the very same way that the Holy Spirit empowered that church to do ridiculous things, he can empower us to do ridiculous things. Church, I am ambitious for people to come to Christ. I'm not going to apologize for it. I am ambitious to find God's lost kids and bring them home. I am ambitious to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to talk about Christ in ways that something clicks in their heart and they say, yes, I get it. I want to be part of that. But church, I want us as a congregation to be ambitious for that. I don't want us to ever become apathetic about this awesome mission of the church. We were born in a moment of power, and the Holy Spirit brought 3,000 people to Christ. And the very same Spirit who did that is alive and at work in this church, and he could be bringing people back to Christ week by week by week by week if we would be empowered and live the Christian life. Do you get it? Look what happened. Pentecost is the celebration of first fruits. Throughout the entire Old Testament, there were three festivals that all good Jews attended every year, three. One was Passover, the second one was first fruits, and the third was full harvest. The day of Pentecost is associated with first fruits. So what happens on the day of Pentecost? What did it look forward to all those years? It looked forward to the first fruits of the church. The first time the church really had a harvest was that day on Pentecost. And God has been harvesting ever since. Listen to what Jesus said. Please listen to what he said. The fields are white unto harvest. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his field. That's what I'm praying for. I'm saying we'd like to do it, Lord. We'd like to be empowered by your Spirit. We'd like to be influential. We'd like to talk about Christ in ways that people want to hear more about him. We'd like to do church in ways that people would feel inclined to come to church and keep seeing what Christ might do in their life. Help us, I pray. And then there was a new devotion. The Bible says the church, when it was empowered, devoted itself to these five things. If you're in a life group, I wish you'd write these down and make it part of your discussion. The first thing they did was they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This Saturday night crowd you're pretty faithful. But our statistics show us that every 6 weeks, about 4,000 people attend this church. So what that means is, on any given Sunday, 1,500 attend. That just means there are a lot of people who aren't coming very regularly. Do you see what I mean? How about you? Would this be a good year to start devoting yourself to consistent church attendance? I promise I'll do the best I can to preach sermons that come right out of the Bible. I promise I'll do the best I can to pray and preach sermons that'll be helpful. But you got to get your butt to church. Don't tell me, oh, I can be a good Christian and not go to church. The Bible says when this all got started, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They didn't think they could be a good Christian and not go to church. The second thing they did was they devoted themselves to association. Fellowship is an odd word. I don't care for it too much. It's spooky to me. I'm a little suspicious of people who say, do you want a fellowship? No. I'm good. Don't you find the word a little spooky? I like the word associate. Look it, they devoted themselves to associating. They went to life groups. They liked hanging around with each other. They spent time encouraging each other. Oh, how I wish everybody in this church would join a life group. Associate with some other good people who are trying to live the Christian life. Encourage them. Be encouraged by them. Share what God is doing in your heart. Let others share what God is. I love my life group. They're just a ridiculously awesome group of people. The third thing they did was they broke bread. This gets interpreted two ways, the Lord's Supper. The second is they just like to have lunch with each other. Look at the fourth thing they devoted themselves to, prayer. Would this be a good year to up your commitment to prayer? Would this be an opportune moment for you to say to the Holy Spirit, please work in my heart so I feel a stronger impulse to pray? We have 2 weeks of prayer every year. We just come here and we just say as honestly to God as we know how, we are devoting ourselves to prayer this week. Would you please hear our prayer? Would you please work in our souls? Would you please help our families? Would you bless this church? I believe in prayer, church. Look at the last thing they did. They devoted themselves to generosity. You say, here you go again, Doc. Oh, yeah, here I go again. Can't help it. Acts chapter 2 says, when the Holy Spirit moved in them, they wanted to be more generous. Church, this Acts chapter 2 says to me, if you really want to live the Christian life, two things are of maximum importance. One, we got to care about God's lost kids. Do you get it? The easiest thing in the world that Peter could have done is said, you guys crucified Christ, now suffer the consequences. We're Christians, and we don't need your hassle. Because I'm going to tell you, they got hassled bad. And we're going to study just how badly they got hassled. But they never gave in to that impulse. They always said, we've got to care about God's lost kids. Church, we got to care about God's lost kids. If we're going to be an authentic church, we can't ever give up on trying to find God's lost kids and bring them home. The minute we do, we stop being at the heart of God, what God wants the church to be. It's born in a rush of speaking about Christ. It's born in a rush of people saying, yes, I want to give my life to Christ. And that rush has to remain urgent and earnest in every single one of us. The second is, there is no Christian living outside of association. When the church is thriving in the book of Acts, you'll hear this, they were of one accord. They were in harmony. Do you get it? When we live in association, when we really get to know people, our capacity to unite with them in doing good goes up. It's because you don't associate and you don't know people that you grow suspicious and you grow weary of their tedious ways. Church? There are some remarkable people in this church. You'd be shocked what they might be able to add to the good of your soul if you just associate with them a little bit. If you'd get over your judgmental spirit and let what is good in them touch you, you would be shocked the benefit you might get from it. I always profit from hanging around the people of God. I'm always better when I hang around the people of God. Church? The book of Acts says, this is where the church was born. The Holy Spirit empowered us, and he filled us with the ability to talk about Christ in the kind of way that people would want to become Christians. The second thing he said is, stop trying to do it alone. Associate. Be inclusive. Join a group. Participate in a ministry. In association, the Holy Spirit accomplishes more in us and through us. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the empowered church. Thank you for the dream of the empowered church. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for the way your Holy Spirit has moved in this church generation after generation. Thank you for how we've seen your mighty hand bring people who no one thought would ever be a Christian back to Christ. Thank you for everyone who's invited someone to church. Thank you for everyone who participates in the ministry. Thank you for everyone who's generous. And Father, I pray that this year we could be empowered by your Holy Spirit in a way greater than we've ever been. And I pray that it would result in us being productive and your kingdom thriving in our lifetime. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on Christ Church, please check us out on the web at www.christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, please contact us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.